Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. This is Leslie Dorries. We can't talk about marriage without also talking about divorce. It's the elephant in the room that seems to create a lot of the fear and tension around marriage. A colleague of mine calls what's happening with a lot of marriages today selfie marriage, meaning it's all about your personal happiness. Now, I agree that how you feel is important, but marriage is not just about you. Divorces used to be thought of as you failed at something, but now there's a big movement to reframe it as, oh, it's no big deal. See Gwyneth Paltrow and her conscious uncoupling. It also used to be a source of private sadness, but now we have an explosion of divorce parties. But I can guarantee that there are some people who are not celebrating. There are real consequences to taking the step to end your marriage, especially when there are children. Children are silent stakeholders. There are all kinds of conflicting statistics about the impact of divorce on children, and most parents latch on to the statistics that say their children will be fine. But what if that isn't the complete truth? Are you really okay building your happiness at the cost of theirs? Joining me today is Ellen Bruno, who is a national and international award-winning documentary filmmaker. She's received both Guggenheim and Rockefeller Fellowships, and she is the creator of a documentary called Split, which is an honest discussion with 12 children about how divorce has impacted them. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Tell me what prompted you to film this documentary.
Well, this is very different than the films I make. Most of my work is on the international front with larger human rights issues. I do consider this also a human rights issue. When I was 12, my parents got divorced. We lived in a small Catholic community in Rhode Island, and nobody was divorced. Nobody talked about divorce. And with four children in our family, nobody talked to us about divorce. And they really felt that was the best way to take care of us at that point. And that was very frightening for us and very isolating. 30 years later, I got divorced with two small children. And that's when I realized that the culture, while in many ways there was a lot more divorce going on in our culture, we still are not doing it well. We're still not caretaking our children in the way they need to be taken care of and the way they need to be listened to. And so that was really the motivation, was to provide something that was useful and affirming for my children, for all children who are walking this path, and to wake parents up to the realities of how this choice affects their children.
And I'm about of the same generation as you, maybe a few years older, and my parents also got divorced. And it was, you know, it was devastating. And I remember, you know, sitting there thinking, well, maybe if my sister and I just hadn't fought, you know, Dad wouldn't be leaving. And even though my logical mind knew that was crazy, my little emotional side was like, well, it had to be my fault. And I know that in this film, that's a running commentary with a lot of the kids that you talk to.
That's right. You know, what became interesting, I interviewed 25 children in depth. They were usually anywhere between a 30-minute to an hour-long interview, just me sitting and talking to these kids and letting them take the lead. They were not very directed interviews. Really, I wanted to allow the space for the kids to come forward and share what was most important for them. And what was so interesting across the board was that I would say 80% of the children at some point came to this idea that they felt it was their fault on some level. And, of course, you read about that, you hear about that, but that, to me, it was such a resounding truth among this group of children. And I began to think, well, you know, what is that all about? You know, and our families are so child-centered that most things happen in relationship to the children. And so when something difficult happens, that's also in relationship to the children, and the children can't understand that this one time it's not really about them, and so they're just part of that paradigm. It's a great burden on the children. Oftentimes they don't share this thought with their parents, Mm-hmm. But it clearly came up with many of the interviews that I did. And actually, our sound recordist, who's a man in his mid-30s, after our first interview, we were driving back, and he said, you know, when I was 12, my father sat down at the dining room table and said, that fish tank makes too much noise. And then the next morning he got up and packed his bags and left. And he said, until
oh my gosh.
I was a young man, I thought that my father left because that fish tank made too much noise and I didn't do something about it. And even as an adult, you know, his child mind believed that to be true. And so this is something we really need to be aware of with our children.
Well, and you know, and it's interesting that you say, you know, that you talk about that we're very child centric, and so yes, it does seem to, you know, so there almost is a disconnect when we want, and I understand why parents want to believe that their children will be okay, and your sound recorder and you and I probably would say that we are okay, but I don't think it's true that any of us weren't impacted by what happened in our childhoods.
Of course, and I think what happens is, and I see it happen in my own community, in my circle of friends, and I see it with my own children. If we're going through this difficult transition as parents, you know, oftentimes one parent or another is particularly upset, maybe more upset than the other. There's clearly a crisis happening that children are very aware of, children are very tuned into us energetically. And so if we say, well, Tommy, how are you doing? Tommy's going to say, I'm doing okay, because Tommy's really aware that he doesn't want to be a burden on his mom. And if he's just a really good kid, you know, and it's super helpful, maybe things will change and maybe this horrible thing won't happen after all. And so he's busy being on his best behavior, or could also be acting out, but most mm-hmm. often kids are taking care of themselves and taking care of their parents. And so they don't want to further burden their parents, and so they're really not talking to their parents about how they really are doing. And I hear this very often with my friends. If I say, how are the kids doing? Actually, they're doing great. And yeah. that's a pretty common response. And when I sit down and talk to those kids, or in passing say, hey, Simon, how are you doing? You know, I can see immediately his face is falling, or he'll open up, or he finally is given permission to have the conversation with somebody that he feels it's safe to have the conversation with, who he won't be burdening. And so there's this way our children take care of ourselves, so we don't often know exactly how our children are doing. And so split is actually really effective with parents, because this is not their own children speaking, so they're not defended against it necessarily. Mm-hmm. They can allow it in, but they recognize very immediately how these are actually their children speaking. They recognize their children and all of the children split. And so it's a way for the message to get through to parents, you know, and for them to really get a much clearer sense of how divorce affects children.
Right. There's a young boy. He looks like maybe he's 10, and in the and he's smiling, and he's talking about, you know, how when he went to school and told his friends, you know, he got a lot of support from his friends. And, you know, if you were to look at this kid, and I'm sure he's one that you're talking about, that if you were just to see him, you would think that everything was okay. But I could see in some of his body language and kind of behind his eyes that he was kind of putting a big, you know, nice smiley picture on what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Sure. These kids have a lot of different strategies to get through it. And I, you know, what was interesting in the making of the film was that I had an informal contract of sorts with the children and their parents, and it was that I would have the conversation with the children directly without parents present, and everybody would have a final okay about what went into the film and what didn't go into the film. But the important thing was that I had a contract with the kids that I wouldn't share anything with their parents unless they wanted me to. And so, for example, many mm-hmm. of the parents asked me for the full interviews, and about half the children are okay with that. And those parents were so surprised at what their children were saying.
Right.
Things that they never imagined and never heard come out of their children's mouths. And so one of the things we need to do is to really, really encourage our children to talk and really give them the space to speak openly about what they're feeling and what they're experiencing. and not putting them in a position to take care of us and our needs as we're going through this transition. And that's a hard thing for parents to do who are very overwhelmed.
Well, and to be fair to the parents, I'm not sure that they even recognize that their children are doing that. And that's one of the things that, you know, children are sponges, and they will pick up, like you said, the emotional energy, and then they develop their own coping mechanisms around it. And I'm still sort of waiting for the kid. Now, it might be a 14, 15-year-old boy who actually might do this, but I'm not thinking any other kid might do this. When their parents sit them down for the talk and said, you know, Dad and I or Mom and I are splitting up, and the kids say, well, why? And it's like, well, I'm just not happy anymore. and the kid going, great, so now I have to have my whole life upended, and I don't get to do the things that I've always done, and I don't get to be happy because you're not happy. I'm waiting to hear the story that any kid has ever said that to their parents during this talk.
Well, I mean, one of the boys in the split did say, you know, why are you doing this when you know it's going to make me unhappy? You know, he said, I hated my parents when they told me, and I thought, why would you do this when you know that it's going to make me so unhappy? And, you know, that's, in a sense, the same question is, what choices are you making? And you know, be aware of how it's affecting my life in a very profound way. And in a sense, that's part of what we're doing with the film is, you know, even something that seems so benign on a certain level as a child moving back and forth between two households, I mean, that's
huge.
And a child's not just moving back and forth between two households, they're moving back and forth between two often vastly different realities where they're expected to be different people in each of those households. You know, and so it's this constant morphing. Who am I now? I mean, I can see my children wear different clothes. They have literally have a different fashion style at both households.
Interesting.
They eat different food. They can use different language. They have different rules. You know, they're different people at the two different households, and that's not unusual. And so what are we asking of our children? It's not just that you're sleeping at Mom's house tonight and at Dad's house tomorrow night. You're going through this whole much more major transition of self, making that movement. And that's something that parents don't necessarily understand because they just see one piece of it. And people in our community don't really understand what that means for a child. And so part of what we want to do with Split is to show it in classrooms so that the children who are not from divorced families can be more understanding of what their friends are going through and what their lives really mean. What does it mean when I can't go to your birthday party because I'm with Dad this weekend, or, you know, I left my homework again at Mom's, or all of the complications, all of the logistical complications that children have to deal with, you know, and do so, you know.
Repeatedly.
Yes. And they need to be commended, or they need to be they need to be recognized in some way and supported. And so they're dealing with things on a deeply emotional and psychological level, but just even the logistical level, it's exhausting. What would it be like for us if every 2 days or 3 days we had to pack up everything that was important to us in our lives and move to a different space and then do that
for
3 days?
You know, that is the one thing, and I realize that in our country we're going to 50-50 joint physical custody, and that makes me crazy for this very reason. You actually, there was a young woman, probably again maybe 11, 12, who was talking about, you know, she couldn't really remember. She goes, well, I stay with Mom on Monday and Thursday night and Friday. I mean, you know, she's like trying to remember, her own schedule. And I frequently talk with couples who are wanting to split or temporarily separate, and I talk about this concept called nesting, where the kids stay in the house and the parents move in and out. And, you know, parents, you know, some parents just aren't even willing to try it, but the parents who are get really exhausted after a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, but this is what we're asking our children to do, you know, all the time. And if we don't want to do it, why do we think it's okay for them?
Well, that just even as adults, you know, if we were away from our home for a few days, that sense of going to sleep in your own bed, going to sleep in a place, you know, that where you feel so grounded, and it's that sense of like, you know, here I am. It's not that children can't have that in two spaces, but we have to remember that there's something that's fundamentally grounding about the space that we inhabit. And to be asked to continue to change, not on some schedule that's somehow in rhythm with our lives, but it's usually some court-appointed schedule that has no relationship to the rhythms of our lives. And we just need to be aware of that and tend to our children.
You said that you're showing this in the schools, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Is it being shown anywhere else in kind of a organized, concerted fashion?
We have a few initiatives right now, and my goal is in the next year to have several copies of this film in every public library in America, because I quite regularly get emails from families that say, you know, we really don't have, you know, we would love to see this. We don't have any money. Can we get it in a library? And so we really want to get this into the homes as much as possible so the children can see it. The children who are going through this transition find Split really affirming and really comforting. It's very interesting because there's so much emotional and psychological turmoil. And for them to hear 12 other kids who are really cool, hip kids talking about their experiences in a really straightforward way. It's not the sugar-coated, everything's going to be okay, because kids don't believe that. It's okay.
Nor should they.
You're right. So it's like, okay, this is what's really tough. This is how I feel about that. I've got a lot of really strong feelings. These are the kind of things I do, and I don't feel so great. It's really comforting for kids, you know, and encouraging. It gives them courage in a place where they're very frightened. And so they find it's sort of the balm of the soul for children. So children like it very much.
Right.
It's a little more provocative with adults because it is, in a sense, in a very, very simple, gentle way, calling them to task.
And, and I'm sure they don't like it.
It's uncomfortable. And when we did focus groups and the making of the film, the focus groups with the parents and the focus groups with the kids were always radically different. And the parents always thought, well, that's a little too hard. Maybe you shouldn't put that in there. You know, there was that one scene of a little boy who was very, very upset because his father didn't show up for his fifth grade graduation. And, in fact, his father doesn't show up for many of the important things in his life. And he was tearing up on camera. And it's a very touching part of the film. And the parents just unanimously said, we need to take that out. That's going to be too difficult. It'll make our children upset. And so when I talked to the kids,
what do they think their kids are? Don't they think their kids are upset?
Well, exactly.
Or do the kids do that good of a job? I mean, I shouldn't say this because I know that the kids do that good of a job of hiding it.
Right. But when I went to the kids and said, what about taking Trevor out? Trevor was a little upset boy. I said, you know, the parents want us to take Trevor out. The kids unanimously were like, no, you need to put more of him in there. And it became clear that Trevor held the grief, you know, and these kids have a lot of grief. They're grieving a parent, and they're grieving the loss of this idea of family, which is very dear to them. And so Trevor honored.
And they still try to hold on to it in some way. There was a little girl who was talking about how her mom was still angry at her dad, but somehow they'd all still be a family even if her mom got married again. And, I mean, it was like a knife in my heart, because here she's trying to hold on to something that really isn't going to be able to be held on to.
Well, that was another thing that was pretty universal is certainly in these 12 kids, every one of them still wishes that their parents would get back together. Even though many of the parents are remarried, they still have this idea. They want to get their parents back together again. And there's something that idea of that reunion or that sort of restructuring of family just that's what they feel they need in order to heal. And so that's a very common wish for children. Yeah, of course, there are some very extreme cases where there's physical abuse happening, or mm-hmm. where children are actually happy and relieved when their parents separate. But for the most part, that's not children's experience.
Well, because you know, and this is what, and I don't know if you've run into this in promoting the film, but it's something that I run into when I talk about the impact, the real impact of divorce, and that there are alternatives to that for many, many marriages, not where there's abuse or things like that, where yes, it really is very, very hard. But, you know, there's this backlash of, oh, well, you just want us to go back and not be happy. It's like, no, I want you to try to figure out a way to work this out. I mean, I had a really good friend who, when she was younger, her parents fought all the time, and she and her sister would, you know, be in their room during the fights going, well, why don't they just get divorced? Why don't they just get divorced? And then their parents somehow managed to do something where they stopped fighting. And the girls calmed down, and then when my friend was in college, their parents decided to get divorced, and she and her sister were shocked because all they wanted was the fighting to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they saw divorce as the way to make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, and then when their parents didn't get divorced, they go, okay, things are cool, and then suddenly there goes the nuclear bomb in the middle of their
right.
family.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, we're not living in the village anymore. We're not living in the extended family. There aren't all of those ties that bind, and all of the community and the cultural supports that help parents through, help a married couple through the hard times. And so it's easier to separate rather than sometimes do the work that needs to happen or hang in there until you get through a rough patch. And so I think that's one of the reasons in our culture why we're doing so much of it. We just don't have the support and encouragement to stick with it, you know.
Right. I mean, I think it's one of the things that I run into because I will see couples right when they're on the verge or one's already done. You know, we call it the drop off. You know, but they come to counseling and it's really just to drop off the spouse who wants to save the relationship because they're done. And I liken it to, you know, I mean, the average I think is people say that there's problems in the relationship for 6 to 7 years before a couple goes and seeks help. And I'm thinking, well, how long would you wait with a broken leg? You know, wouldn't you go to the doctor? But, you know, so by the time they actually get into, you know, to go get help, it there's so much damage done, or, you know, they don't necessarily want to look at their part of it. They just want to blame their partner. And they forget that they have this connection that's going to keep them connected. A colleague of mine, I don't know if you've ever heard of Bill Doherty, but he's a big he's big in the marriage and family therapy field, and he basically says that if you have children, you can't really get divorced because you're still tied to this other person. It just gets even more complicated because now you can add other people like new wives, new husbands, new kids into the mix, and everything just gets even more complicated.
Right, I think that's true that people think they can just walk away, and in fact, you're in that relationship for life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the things within the marriage that are encouraging people to be more understanding of each other. Once there's a separation, there's no caretaking going on oftentimes in those relationships, and they can get pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm. And then the kids are in the middle because then they feel like they have to choose sides. You know, they can't say, oh, I had a great time at dad's house because mom's going to be hurt. Or they can't say, well, this was really cool at mom's house. You know, it's like, and they become masters, what's the word I'm looking for, withholders, not, you know, because it's like, well, I can't really be honest. I can't really just be a kid.
Well, they're managing this notion of fairness, you know, and that is actually very burdensome. for a lot of children. It was burdensome for me when I was a child, you know, watching the clock on Christmas, trying to figure out when was the exact time to go from mom's house to dad's house so that, you know, dad didn't feel left out, but then mom didn't feel abandoned. And, you know, and this happens for children are working out these equations at a very young age.
Yes, they are.
And being the peacemaker, trying to not upset one parent or the other parent, this going into incredible contortions about, you know, not really doing what they want to do necessarily because they feel an obligation to one parent or another, afraid to speak their truth.
Right.
You know, and because they know that, you know, they could hurt a parent's feelings, get in trouble, feel like they were betraying a parent, and it's a lot to ask of a child. Our children are very busy in these equations all the time, caretaking us. We need to be caretaking our children in a much more direct way.
Right, and that kind of flips, you know, that flips it. The children aren't supposed to be the adults, and unfortunately, I think a lot of times they end up in that position, and they're ill-equipped to deal with it, and then that impacts their relationships later. But yeah, I mean, here in North Carolina, it's really interesting. I would love to get the documentary here because here parents have to be separated. Couples have to be separated for a year before they can file for divorce, but they don't have to do anything in that year. They don't have to do any parenting classes. I would love to see them have to see split to really get, you know, to really open up the dialogue about what you're really doing. But so, Ellen, can you tell people how they can access this wonderful, wonderful documentary?
Sure. The film is called Split, and you can go to our website, which is www.splitfilm.org, and you can order DVDs from the website, and in the next month we'll have a very comprehensive viewing guide where parents can use this viewing guide with their children watching the film, and there's discussion prompts and different activities to encourage communication between parents and children.
Right. Because the one thing I'd really like my listeners to take away from this conversation and from this really important documentary is that, you know, I don't think that staying together purely for the sake of the children is a good solution, but they might be a really good reason to take action to improve your marriage. And, you know, there's a saying that, you know, if you really want to give your children a gift, the best start in life, is to take care of your marriage and give them that stability. That split is a really good example of what happens when that stability is gone.
Yes.
So Ellen, thanks so much for joining me. And, next week, we'll continue the conversation about what impacts relationships, what you can do to make your marriage better. And until next week, this is Happily Ever After, and stay loving.